Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about United Healthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hello and welcome back to Extra Shot, our weekly pod spilling the wildest stories in sport this week. On the pod today, the Barcelona star who turned his house into a sex dungeon, gun-wielding gangsters stalk New Zealand's rugby league, and David Hay on the hunt for hotties. I am Zachary Sweeney-Lynch. Joining me today is Mr. George Cooper.
Hello, mate. You all right?
Very well, thank you. We should announce that there's been a coup at Upshot Towers. We've got Jack's head impaled in a spike behind us.
Yeah.
And we are taking charge.
Jack Rivlin has been holding you back, Zach. And at last, you have gained your rightful spot as host of this podcast.
Thank you. I have been thinking the same thing, and I will be ruling this podcast with an iron fist from now on.
Yeah. Does this mean I've got to get a medieval haircut?
It would help, yeah.
We're doing the initiation ceremony after the recording. You're going to sort of ceremoniously lower the bowl onto my head whilst you wield the rusty scissors to complete the look.
Yeah, I've got a Hessian sack that I'll cut some armholes in. No, Jack is, he's just taking a well-earned break. He's alive and well, as far as we know.
I like to imagine him, he's on the beach with a cocktail and a coconut, tuning in to...
Steve Bruce is rubbing some sun cream into his bag.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. What have we got this week then? What's happening?
So I'm going to start off with Arda Turan, who you might remember is a Turkey international. He played for Atletico Madrid and Barcelona for a while. So he was in the news last month because he was handed a one-year suspended jail sentence by Spanish court for pretty dull tax fraud reasons. Basically the same thing that Messi and Ronaldo and Jose Mourinho got done for in Spain.
The El Clásico.
The El Clásico, yeah.
Well, it seems to be ex-Barcelona players that get tax fraud, didn't it? Messi had a big one, but yeah. I mean, you think if you're that high profile, you get your affairs in order, but apparently not.
Yeah, I don't know, because I mean, they're earning so much money. Surely, do you really need to twiddle it?
I think like a lot of them have their like dads or brothers as their managers. So Ronaldinho springs to mind. I think Messi's dad was his manager as well. So I doubt these people are trained accountants, shall we say.
True. Neymar's dad was the one who insisted that an orgy was included in Neymar's transfer to Barcelona.
I rest my case. No further questions.
But it turns out that the Catalan taxpayer wasn't the only one Arda Turan was screwing over while he was in Spain. So after the verdict, his old landlord in Barcelona announced that he is also suing Arda for vandalising his luxury villa that he was renting from him while he was at Barca. So apparently, during his 18 months there, Arda caused 230,000 euros of damage. Which was pretty surprising because he said that when Arda first moved in, he seemed like a pretty dream tenant. He insisted that the house was deep cleaned. It's a quote from Mundo Deportivo, the Spanish paper, that said, Arda disinfected the chalet to remove biological remains of previous non-Muslim tenants.
Right, okay.
Which seems a little bit excessive, but I can imagine that the landlord's like, great, it's, you know, at least we get a clean freak rather than some ketamine guzzling students. But unfortunately, that didn't last. So shortly after Arda moved in, huge parties started being thrown in the house. So it's a quote from the landlord, they left cigarette butts everywhere, even on the furniture. When they watched football and a goal was scored, they would throw the remote control into the pool, a remote control worth 1,000 euros. They threw about 10 or 15 of them.
who's got a remote control worth?
Yeah, and 10 to 15 of them.
What does that remote control do?
I have no idea what it's doing. But also, when Arda went away for away matches, he'd leave his friends to party in the house, and they held these wild orgies that would keep up the neighbours. Apparently, they were using the curtains in the house as sex swings.
Some quite complicated trapeze going on there.
Maybe that was what the remote was being used for. Sort of. Hoist them up.
But they didn't have the remote, did they? Because it was in there floating in the pool. True. I have to get the little net out.
Anyway, whichever journalist got this scoop had better watch his back, because Arda has previous in dealing with unfavourable journalists. So back in 2017, he was kicked off the Turkey national team after strangling a journalist on a flight home from Macedonia. So this poor guy, Bilal Messe, had written negative things about Arda after this game against Macedonia, and Arda spotted him on the plane and stormed over and said, "Fuck those who allowed you onto this plane, son of a bitch," and then started throttling this guy. Apparently, like, teammates and the airline staff had to drag him off. Pretty unhinged. And then, so the following year, Turan got married. President Erdogan was a guest of honor, the Turkish despot, at his wedding. And it was like, you know, footballer's wedding, pretty lavish affair. But afterwards, a journalist asked Arda's new wife whether she was satisfied with the simple ceremony, which is a bit of a provocative question, really. It definitely rubbed Arda out the wrong way, because he told the journalist, "I will crush your head and eyes."
Head and eyes.
Head and eyes. I don't know how he's going to do that, but yeah, anyway.
Yeah, this guy sounds tapped.
Yeah, so another Arda story. So the following, I think we might do an Arda episode at some point, because there's quite a few mental stories. The following year, he got in a fight with a Turkish pop star called Berkay at a Istanbul nightclub. So it basically started when Turan was trying it on with Berkay's girlfriend, despite the fact that he'd got married the previous year. And Berkay obviously was not too happy about that and confronted him, and Turan punched him in the face, broke his nose. And Berkay was then carted off to hospital, and Arda Turan followed him in his car to the hospital, went into the hospital with a loaded gun, and tracked him down the CCTV from the hospital. And you think, like, he's going to finish him off, but he then throws the gun down on the table and begs Berkay to shoot him. He basically says, like, I didn't realise it was your girlfriend, I'm sorry, please shoot me," which fortunately Berkay declines.
How is he? Has he ever been in jail? Has he ever done time?
Well, he's got a suspended sentence now.
Yeah, it sounds like he's on thin ice. Yeah, the sounds of it.
I think the landlord was lucky to get away with some lube stains on his curtains, really, judging by this. But look forward to bringing you any more updates on that.
Right, we have an update. I have a rare Upshot dating update for our female listener. So, Kathy, if you're listening. Now, David the Haymaker Hay, the retired British boxing icon, and his partner Sean Osborne are currently auditioning for a shiny new third wheel for their infamous thruple. Now, listeners may remember Jack and Zach brought you an update back in January when the boxing legends was rumoured to have recruited Saturday singer Una Healy into this thruple, and they've been living in a romantic trifecta, shall we say. I hasten to add that Healy did deny this and said that she was only linked with Hay, wasn't dating Sean. Oh, okay. Poor Sean was left out in the cold for that one.
Oh, really? But Sean was the existing one already, wasn't she?
Yeah, yeah. But I guess this is like the epitome of an open relationship. Maybe it was like an audition kind of thing. I don't know. But Una had recently broken up with Ben Foden, not Ben Fogel. Very different Ben.
Ben Fogel is not Ben Fogel. He's the adventure.
Yeah,
guy,
he's
right?
The squeaky clean BBC nature documentarian.
My eyes popped out of my head when you said Ben Fogel. I was like, really?
I always get
Ben Fogel was not in any thruples, as far as we know.
As far as we're concerned, as far as we know, yeah. I always get Phil Foden, Ben Foden, and Ben Fogel mixed up.
It's easily done.
Easily done. Yeah. Anyway, so David has recently posted an update on the members-only dating platform Raya, which I think is for like celebrities and disgraced members of the royal family.
You're not on there?
I'm not on there, no.
You haven't been invited.
Have you?
No.
So there's time. There's always time. Do you know of anyone who's ever been on it? Is it exclusively for celebrities? Or
I think it's celebrities and hotties.
So anyway, some may think that this Sultan-like existence sounds fairly glamorous, maybe. But I mean, I couldn't think of anything worse, to be honest. Mm. I mean, my girlfriend's already got me on the shared calendar, and that's a nightmare. I think adding a third party to the mix is just territory for a mental breakdown, I think. I mean, but what about you? Would you dip your toe in a throttle?
To be honest, one's bad enough.
Obviously, we can't speak on behalf of everyone, and there's no denying that for a man who has spent his entire career repeatedly getting punched in the face, he's a pretty good-looking guy. He's obviously in good nick, so perhaps, you know, he could be enticing, and obviously Sian's a very attractive girl. Would you like to hear David's listing on Raya?
Please.
Yeah, so David, 43, enjoying the game we call life is the headline.
Yeah.
I'm a selfish prick. Nothing is ever good enough. I always want more, rarely satisfied. I've got many deep-rooted complex demons eating me up from the inside, manifesting in disgusting acts of ... Let's not tell you everything and spoil the surprise.
Are you sure it was him that wrote this?
Yeah. kind of sounds like it's been written by a disgruntled ex-lover. Yeah. He's been badly wronged.
Was it the last one to get kicked out of the throuple who wrote that?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm a selfish prick. Be prepared to be kept up by my snoring. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it goes on to say, blessed with my stunning partner, Sian. Brackets, find her on Insta. We love positive energy, health and wellness, traveling to beautiful locations, watching sunsets/sunrises and connecting with like-minded hotties.
Like-minded hotties, yeah.
That's quite a line, isn't it?
Yeah.
Does that mean it's not enough? So that
they are putting themselves into that category then. I mean, to be fair, they're not wrong.
Yeah, it's like it's not enough just to be like-minded, you also have to be a hottie. Yeah. We are specifically searching for that. And then finally he adds, and don't lie, which is pretty rich coming from Hay, because in the years after he hung up his boxing gloves, he rebranded himself this kind of like vegan icon, and you'd often see him appear on talk shows, you know, after he retired, like League of Their Own and that kind of stuff. So it's pretty confusing for one TV producer who walked into his dressing room, found him tucking into what appeared to be three whole chickens, which is the same dinner that one of the farmers from Fantastic Mr. Fox used to indulge. So yeah,
three chickens.
Yeah, and he was due to talk about his veganism on the show, so they thought, you know, we should probably just check this, because, you know, we've got all this script planned, and if he's not vegan, then, you know, it could derail the whole bit that we've got planned. James Corden's got a load of gags up his sleeve. So they asked, you're just checking those, you are still vegan. And then supposedly his handler responded with, oh no, they weren't chickens, they were olives.
Olives.
Quite a brazen.
Yeah, big excuse. Olives.
Yeah, very big olives. It reminds me of, you know, the comedian Dave Chappelle.
Mm.
Supposedly, Dave Chappelle did a night at the Leicester Square Theatre when he was doing a warm-up gig for one of his tours. And I mean, Dave Chappelle's one of the biggest comedians of the planet. He's used to selling out, you know, like Wembley kind of arenas. So it's unprecedented that you do this tiny little 300-seater venue in the heart of Soho. Big stars like that have a rider. And whenever they visit venues, they'll send like, these are my requirements, and often be like, oh, I don't know, like I require 3 bottles of coconut water, 4 pressed white towels, a bottle of champagne and some...
An ounce of cocaine,
yeah, exactly. So Dave Chappelle, bear in mind that he's used to sending out riders to like these huge stadiums and he's going to have huge dressing rooms, didn't think to edit it in any way when he was sending it off to the 300 capacity Leicester Square Theatre. And when it arrived, it said that he wanted all of the light bulbs in the room to be changed to red. He wanted 2 bottles of champagne chilling on ice and a rotisserie chicken on an actual rotisserie.
In the dressing room.
In the dressing room, yeah. And the comedian Stuart Lee does a whole bit about it, because he said that he was on the bill the same night that Dave Chappelle was visiting Leicester Square Theatre. Yeah. And because it's such a tiny venue and the dressing room is, you know, it's like a shoebox. It's not even, it's just the room that you put your bag down and go get changed. But his team demanded that all of these things get put in place. He said, when you walked in, there was a rotisserie chicken on an actual rotisserie and a red light bulb. He said that it resembled a microwave oven. And he's like, because the venue's so small, like people were coming in and then people were like, why is this whole venue stinking chicken?
I was thinking the red light bulb gives it quite a sort of seedy brothel vibe.
Maybe that's...
And there's just a chicken on a skewer.
Yeah, it's a strange dynamic that he's going for. It's a weird kind of vibe. But
wasn't there was some rock star who demanded a bowl of only blue M&Ms?
Yeah, I think it was Van Halen. Because he wanted to make sure that the person reading it had been thorough and made sure that they got everything. Because it's like such a pedantic request that if he knew that if that had been done, then everything else would be fine.
Yeah, it's just a bit of a power trip, really.
Bit of a power trip. As always, so funny, Grace Jones demanded, we've spoken about before on the podcast, demanded 10K's worth of cocaine in her rider. But then when the Conservative Party tried to book her for the Tory conference, she said that as the request. As well, like, I didn't think to change it. Yeah, I don't know whether she got it or anything.
I reckon at the Tory Party conference you'll be sorted for that.
Yeah. Anyway, well, obviously David Hay, going back to the story, is since retired. So he's in no doubt filling his time and no longer abstaining his real passion in life, which I believe is polyamorous relationships and shagging.
Wasn't there? There was a great quote from him from a few years ago when he was still boxing about abstaining from sex before fights. It was, I've got the quote here. The way I see it, a lion is most dangerous when it's hungry and it's horny. If a lion has just ate an antelope and shagged another lioness, you can walk up to it and pat it on the head. But if it's hungry and hasn't eaten for a while and it's horny, go anywhere near it and it's going to bang you and eat you.
No, I'm no expert on African wildlife. Maybe we need Ben Foden to pitch in on this one, but I don't think lions bang their prey before they eat it. make for a very interesting episode of Planet Earth. Also, like, he's not going to bang his opponent before he beats him up,
yeah,
is he?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I imagine that if he was standing in front of Vladimir Klitschko going toe-to-toe in the ring and he had a stiffy, it's not exactly going to help his points tally, is it?
I don't know, it might put him off.
Yeah, I mean, that
would probably, it would be quite distracting if David Hay's got a stonker on it.
I doubt the WBA are going to look upon it too kindly.
Yeah, but maybe it's all that abstaining that he now feels like he's got to make up for lost time.
Yeah, perhaps. I mean, like, it's quite a common thing in sport, isn't it? Because I know Tiger Woods before this year's Masters said that he was not going to have any sex before, just to keep, like, you know, ultimate focus. But I mean, he didn't work. He made the cut, but then he blew out before. Yeah, he didn't even come anywhere close. I imagine, like, as he goes around the ninth hole, he's just thinking about that wank he's gonna have in the clubhouse.
Just disappears into a bunker. So I'm gonna stick with boxing and talk about Ryan Garcia. He's an American boxer. We mentioned him a few weeks ago, I think, because he posted this picture of his wife cradling their newborn baby in hospital. It was a very sort of sweet, you know, post announcing their daughter's birth. And an hour later, followed it up with a post that read, "It's with a heavy heart I have to share that Drea and I have decided to divorce," which is just absolutely savage. Like, I'm picturing her lying in the hospital bed, like, exhausted after a 14-hour labour, and he just slides the divorce papers into her lap.
Oh, God. Well, she's sort of like coming around from the epidural meds. Yeah.
Just sign here, love.
Brutal.
But after that, his fans were sort of wondering how Ryan might react. You know, would he join the ranks of divorcee dads in signing up for a marathon, getting a Labrador, or maybe even sign up for a pottery class at his local community centre? But 3 months on, it's fair to say that he's gone the other way. So it all started to go wrong when he went on a live stream with Andrew Tate, which is
it's never
really a good look. He followed that up by posting a string of pretty weird conspiracy theories. So he claimed that he'd been taken hostage at Bohemian Grove, which is this sort of elite members club in San Francisco that, like, QAnon type people say is where the elites run their satanic paedophile cult.
It's like an annual meeting, isn't it, that they do in the woods or something. And there's a lot of, as you say, conspiracy theorists who think that.
Some journalist snuck in there one time and did a report on some sort of satanic stuff going on. It's bollocks, really. he then also branded Elon Musk the Antichrist, which maybe he was coming out of his episode there.
Of all the things he said so far, that's the one that I could sort of get on board with.
Yeah. He then said that an earthquake was about to hit LA and Las Vegas, which hasn't occurred yet, but you know, maybe he's onto it. So either, I don't know, I think his fans were sort of afraid that Ryan might be having a bit of an episode there. Either that or he was spending too much time on Matt Letizia's YouTube channel. All this was in the run-up to his big fight against Devin Haney last Saturday. So Devin Haney is the WBC super lightweight champion, another American fighter, and he was supposed to be challenging him for this belt. But last week in the run-up to the fight, Ryan went on this pretty wild boozing spree in New York. He said that he was drinking every single night, which, you know, in the lead up to a title fight is not really what you want.
Yeah.
And he ended up missing the weight grade as a result of this, which means that he couldn't actually challenge officially for the belt. And he also had to pay Devin Haney $600,000. So yeah.
Yeah, he fucked it.
He fucked it, really. And then completing his journey as a well-adjusted divorcee, he offered $100,000 to 12 girls that he'd met online to come and sit ringside with him for the fight. And then a 13th one he offered $1 million to. He then announced he was getting married to a porn star called Savannah Bond, and sort of hinted that she was pregnant as well, which is, you know, you can just imagine his ex-wife and kids sitting at home to be like, how's daddy getting on? He's like, well, he's been kidnapped by a satanic cult, potentially. He's also married a porn star and he's offering $1 million to girls who will come and sit in the front row and fight. So he actually ended up winning the fight, though. Frankly, I don't think it's a good thing. He won the fight, yeah.
I mean, it would be quite unsettling. Imagine if you were his opponent and you're like, you know, you're checking in, see how the opposition camper are getting on, and then you see that this guy is just absolutely lost his head. Yeah. Like, it's one thing fighting up someone who's in peak physical condition. There's another thing fighting someone who's unhinged.
Yeah, there was he at the sort of weigh-in, he just went, he basically made absolutely no sense, and Devin Haney just sort of responded like, I think this guy's not right.
This guy's unwell.
Yeah.
Would you rather fight Garcia in the middle of his Tim Foyle hat episode or David Haye with a hard on?
Probably Ryan Garcia, just because David Haye might try and fuck me after he's knocked me out. Yeah, him. I feel like him winning this fight was probably not the best outcome, really.
What for?
He's sort of vindicated on his sort of lunatic streak.
He's found a winning formula.
Yeah. I don't know how long it can last. But
was it a resounding victory or was it?
I think he knocked him down 3 times. So. I'm not sure if it was a knockout. I think it was on points, but yeah.
Fair play. Do we know how he's doing now? I'm sure this is by no means the final chapter of this story.
No,
there's going to be plenty more to come from old Garcia.
Yeah, I don't know. I saw a video of him boozing on a plane afterwards. So watch this space.
Plenty more where that came from.
Yeah. So the other big story this week was, were the first two the big stories this week? Probably not.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
One of the big stories this week.
The story is on everyone, on the tip of everyone's tongue.
Auditor and sex swing and David and Ryan Garcia marrying a porn star. Sort of dong.
The public conversation. Yeah. The water cooler moment.
I'm sure towers they are. So, yeah. So one of the big stories this week was Nottingham Forest's statement after their loss to Everton, where they essentially accused the PGMOL, the referees body, of rigging their matches, really. So I'll just read out their statement in case you missed it. Three extremely poor decisions, three penalties not given, which we simply cannot accept. We warned the PGMOL that the VAR is a Luton fan before the game, but they didn't change him. Our patience has been tested multiple times. So they're basically alleging that the VAR, Stuart Atwell, was not giving them penalties during the match because he supports Luton, their relegation rivals.
Oh, it's quite an accusation to throw around, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, like, Stuart Atwell has been a referee for 17 years, like, is he really going to put his career on the line for that kind of thing?
And surely if you're a Luton fan, you want a draw.
True. Yeah, yeah. Yeah,
because like,
that's the other thing. Yeah, because like, both Everton and Nottingham Forest are their relegation rivals. So it's pretty unhinged. It sounds like a kind of tweet that someone would fire out from the pub after the game, really, yeah. not the official club. But the other thing I liked about this was that Nottingham Forest obviously appointed Mark Clattenburg as a consultant a couple of months ago. So Mark Clattenburg, experienced referee, I think he did 13 years in the Premier League. So they're thinking, like, you know, this guy is going to give us some pretty unrivaled insight into the labyrinth mind of Premier League officials and help us to sort of get some marginal gains in the league. And when he was appointed, Mark said that he'd be preparing pre-match packs on the officiating teams and improving relationships between the club and the PGMOL.
It seems like shady goings on. Are all clubs doing at this? Or
apparently not. So they said that it's sort of a new thing to the Premier League, but it's been going on in foreign leagues for a while.
Right.
More corrupt leagues, I think.
in Italy and...
yeah. Well, so the other theory that I've got about this is about Evangelos Marinakis, the portly Greek shipping magnate who owns Nottingham Forest, and that maybe he got hold of the admin's phone because he's not the most cool-headed owner and he's got previous for this kind of thing. So Marinakis also owns Olympiakos in Greece, and they've got a bit of a history of releasing similar statements to this about referees, thanks to Chris on Twitter who pointed us in the direction of these. Last season, Olympiakos B, who play in the Greek second division, had a pretty controversial defeat. And afterwards, Olympiakos issued this statement on their website that read, "Every match day is made a mockery of by punters, delinquents and their pawns. And even the few teams that try to produce football are stifled." Then turns their attention to referees appointed and controlled by the corrupt Mandalos and Bennett, who are sort of heads of the Greek FA, I think. "The issue is that gangrene fills the body of Greek football, and every Sunday, unlikely guys are tested by the dirty circuit that unfortunately runs Greek football."
It's quite poetic.
Yeah, it's I don't know, it makes Nottingham Forest statement seem pretty restrained, really. But they ended up kicking up such a fuss about these allegedly corrupt Greek officials that the league started in drafting in foreign refs for big games. So that season, Italian referee David Massa was drafted in to take charge of AEK Athens against Olympiacos, which is big derby. Unfortunately, Olympiacos lost that game 3-1, and they issued another statement saying, even the blind can see what is happening in Greek football. So that game really, it kicked off at the end. The fans like invaded the pitch, were throwing bottles and stuff. And after the game, David Massa, the Italian referee, did an interview and he said, entering the tunnel, there were many people there and I felt a blow to my genitals without being able to tell who had done it. So, I mean, it's in the tunnel, so I don't think they, there are any fans in there. I think it was sort of, he's sort of implying that it was...
an official.
Yeah, somebody from the club, really.
It's an inside job.
Yeah. Another sort of twist to this is that, do you remember a few years ago, Mark Clattenburg was appointed the president of the Greek referees committee?
Mm.
And he ended up appointing some Greek employees, some assistants that Olympiacos also didn't really like. And they ended up issuing a statement against Clattenburg himself. So they said, the only thing for certain is that he will link his name and destiny with those who cause unrepairable damage to Greek football over the past years, and he will certainly be led to utter disaster. Instead of talking to the media all the time, Mr. Clattenburg, you have to work hard and do what you were hired for against a huge salary. We consider you solely and personally responsible for the repercussions of such a premeditated decision on Greek refereeing.
Fucking hell, it's like proper deep level conspiracy, this,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
Also, correct me if I'm misunderstanding, but the current Nottingham Forest chairman is launching a tirade when he was head of Olympiacos against Clattenburg and then proceeded to hire him,
exactly,
as the consultant.
Yeah.
So maybe he was thinking, EastBenders are too, Bob. Like, okay, yeah. I want a bit of that.
Yeah, because my initial thought on it was that, because this statement seems very sinister. It's like, Mr. Clattenburg, we consider you solely and personally responsible for the repercussions of such a premeditated decision. Now, that sounds like a sort of mafia threat, really.
Yeah.
So I'm wondering then whether either what you say, these betters are too, no, or that they've hired in Clattenburg as a sort of, as a way for him to sort of repay his debt to Olympiacos for that. It's some kind of crooked sort of mafia comeuppance that Mark Clattenburg's now embroiled in.
It's like that film, The Departed, and Mark Clattenburg's like the Matt Damon character just getting mixed up between the...
Yeah.
I would watch that film. There's definitely a film there. Mark, I mean, we've got no evidence to suggest that Mark Clattenburg is
mixed up in the seedy underworld of Athens crime gangs.
You come to Greece on the day of my daughter's wedding.
I mean, Marinakis is a pretty colourful track record. So back in Greece, he was accused of heroin trafficking and match fixing. So he did deny all those charges. He got acquitted of the heroin stuff. Prosecutors also dropped the match fixing charges, but they did make some pretty colourful allegations against him. So they claimed that Marinakis had tried to pressure a referee into favouring Olympiacos in a crunch match, which sounds right on brand for him. But this referee refused. Olympiacos then lost the match. And 3 days later, there was a bomb attack on a bakery that was owned by the referee.
Oh, this is pure Sopranos, this.
It really is, yeah. Then, I can't remember, we might have mentioned this story on the pod before, so sorry for repeating it, but there's another story from an Athens gallery owner who says that Marinakis came into the gallery and wanted to buy a painting from her, and she basically refused. It was like, it's not for sale.
So she woke up with a horse's head in her bed.
Whoa, more Greek than that. So two days later, a group of men stormed the gallery and threw a cup of yogurt over her.
Smashed up all the plates in the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yogurt all over.
Yogurt, right? Some thick Greek yogurt, I think.
Some tzatziki.
Yeah. Some honey stirred into it.
Yeah, it's slightly more slapstick than sinister, but still not ideal. It'll ruin your day.
Yeah. He also apparently had a habit of visiting referees' dressing rooms before important matches to wish them good luck.
It's kind of slightly more sinister than that. I just imagine like a little gentle tap on the cheek.
Yeah, good luck. Yeah.
Good luck.
Probably see him outside Stockley Park next week with a box of chocolates.
Yeah. Reminds me a bit of when John Fashanu used to learn the names of the referees that were officiating the games that he played in when he played for Wimbledon during the Crazy Gang era. He used to learn their wives and kids' names and he used to be like, "Hello, Tony. How are little Matilda and Jules getting on? I hear she's getting pretty good at the violin." Like, really unnerved them before.
Yeah, I mean, John Fashion is the last person you want to know your kids' names.
So it was the London Marathon this weekend, Zach. Did you have any friends taking part?
No, none of my friends are fit enough for that.
I did
have one friend.
One friend doing it. Get around all right?
I think so, yeah.
All the toenails intact?
As far as I know, yeah.
Still got both nipples?
Just one.
Just that,
yeah.
You've done a half marathon. You've done an unofficial half marathon. In you once.
Yeah, I did one around the park by myself.
Fair enough. Anyway, so we've been a lot of talk in recent times about hardest geezer, but did you see the story about the hardest boozer? So this is the story of Tom Gilby, who is a sommelier and wine merchant. You may have seen him on Instagram. He kind of, I believe he's a wine salesman, but he does these very quick sort of quite digestible, easy to understand sort of tips on wine. It's mainly like supermarket wine stuff, so it's not like real highbrow stuff. I have to confess that I have been a fan of Tom Gilby for some time. I think he's great. He gives off, his whole vibe is sort of like a gay best friend in a Richard Curtis film. He's very funny. But during the London Marathon, he completed a quite frankly astounding feat where he drank, tasted and identified 25 different wines. So a wine for every mile during the London Marathon, raising a staggering 14,000, well, I think it's more closer to £16,000 now, for Sobel House, a charity in the process. We've got a little clip of Tom in action here.
It's London Marathon Day. We're starting with a red. We're doing 20, look at the hair, 26 wines, one per mile.
Let's go.
Red.
Could be a Pinot Noir. I reckon it's a Pinot Noir from Burgundy. 2018. Go on, Tom! If that's not a Barolo, fire me. Ciao.
This clipped down like a greasy chit on Sunday lunch. We got a red.
Forget Mo Farah, more like Merlot Farah.
Nice. They're pretty sizable glasses that he's drinking as well.
He was identifying the wines as he was doing it.
Did he get worse as he went round?
Yes, and he said that the wines got progressively worse as he got round as well. So he started off with a nice Chateau Neuf de Pape, and then by the end he was on sort of Echo Falls, I guess. Like, but yeah,
it's quite old school marathon. Like if we did our marathons episode this week, and we talked about the 1904 marathon where they were drinking brandy and champagne as well as rat poison as a sort of steroid. Yeah, it's quite a sort of blast from the past.
Yeah, it does have a sort of hints of that. Yeah. Did you see anyone else this marathon doing some pretty mad feats?
I saw there were a couple of people who ran it with fridges on their back.
Mad.
Which was mental. One woman, Laura Bird, I think her name was. And then I came across this other guy who did the same thing and then proposed to his girlfriend halfway around whilst carrying a fridge.
So the marathon ekes out some eccentric people.
Yeah. I was thinking, saw the video that, it's like, can you imagine if she said no?
You feel like a bit of an idiot there.
Still got another 8 miles to go and got a fridge on your back and you've just been...
You'd want to do it close to the finish line, I imagine. Like, because if you do it at the start and then it's a no, that's a long few hours, isn't it? Were the fridges stocked or empty?
I think it was maybe that guy kept his wine in there.
Nice chilled Chardonnay. Yeah.
So when you think of rural New Zealand, you'll no doubt picture its majestic, craggy mountain ranges, verdant pastures peppered with grazing livestock and kind-hearted farmers. But it turns out the nation's countryside is more like downtown Baltimore than rural idyll. So a rugby match between two North Island sides, Tamatea and YMP, descended into armed warfare last week when a local gang called the Mongrel Mob discovered that the visiting team featured players who were part of a rival gang. So apparently it all kicked off when one of the YMP wingers got tackled by the touchline and a supporter ran onto the pitch and booted him in the head. The YMP coach said weapons were being brandished and things like that. People had their faces completely covered with balaclavas and pulling gang signs. So the game then got called off, but the players seemed weirdly chilled about him. So chilled about the whole thing. So they said, they were like, we ended up having a beer and a sausage sizzle in the changing rooms with the Tamatea management, which, like, I just can't imagine that it's really being in the mood for a little sausage sizzle.
Oh, when they're just being ambushed,
people have just been pulling like nunchucks on you.
Come on, guys, bring your own sausage. Yeah. Got a sizzle going up. Take the edge off.
Yeah. But eventually, I think the police sort of came in and were like, well, guys, like, you should probably make yourself scarce. So they get in their minibus and they're on their way out of town when they realise that a black Subaru and I think there's four cars in total are following them out of town. And then this van appears and starts ramming their car, and gun-wielding gangsters start shooting out the back windows of their minibus.
This is nuts.
Yeah. So I think the police belatedly show up again and give them an escort out of town, at which point they said they just decided to stop in a pub and watch another game on TV. It's like, guys, I really think you need to
find a safe place.
Yeah. It's not really what you picture when you think of New Zealand, really.
No, I can't imagine what a New Zealand gang would be like. I imagine they'd be very kind of
sausage sizzles.
Yeah. Right, I'm going to need your wallets, please, guys. It's like quite sort of polite crimes.
Yeah, I'm picturing like Summer Heights High, although that's Australia, isn't it?
Mr. G, I'm like Murray from Flight of the Conchords.
Well, I think that's all we got time for this week.
It was weird hearing you say that.
I know, it feels weird saying it, to be honest.
That's been fun.
Yeah, thanks for joining me, George.
Yeah, my absolute pleasure.
And thank you for listening. We'll be back on Tuesday when we've got another Old Gold episode about another sesh head Brazilian superstar getting up to no good.
It's a proper seedy one this Tuesday. Yeah, if you prefer the more salacious of the upshot episodes, strap in.
So we've look forward to that. And thank you for listening.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary, not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.